Hello. So I am back. Welcome to Thinking in Criminal. This is my second episode. I'm, I guess, a little addicted already since my first episode was just last night that I recorded it. And yeah, so I'm having a lot of fun. Hopefully, I don't screw this one up, but I wanted to start this episode by reading you guys a quote. And I will not tell you where the quote is from because I don't want to scare anyone away. Which, honestly, that sentence probably might scare some people away because clearly the quote is from something that might scare people away. But it's about something that I think is really interesting, and it's something that I think people need to talk about. So, I'm going to talk about it. And just so everyone knows, I'm not over here like brandishing weapons and getting ready for war or doing scary things. I'm literally sitting in my apartment, alone again, as always, in this world that we now live in. And I am having a sip of sunshine IPA, just like any normal human being with vices, which I usually vacillate between Cabernet for my late night vice, IPAs, or Bullet bourbon whiskey, or really any kind of whiskey, but Bullet is my go-to. So yeah, I just write, talk, design, and have some IPAs. And then during the day, I am a slave to, I guess, if I want to be boring, I am a slave to the man, the suits. So this is my unwinding, is talking to you guys about an idea that I'm not going to tell you the name of the creator until later on in the podcast, so you will give it a chance. But some of you may know me and may guess, anyways, but whatever. So, now that I have talked a little bit too much about my alcohol preference and tried to, or tried too hard to make you guys think I'm not insane and that I'm just normal, I will get into what I want to talk about. So, let me begin with this quote. The moral code of our society is so demanding that no one can think, feel, and act in a completely moral way. For example, we are not supposed to hate anyone. Yet almost everyone hates someone at some time or another, whether he admits it to himself or not. Some people are so highly socialized that the attempt to think, feel, and act morally imposes a severe burden on them. In order to avoid feelings of guilt, they continually have to deceive themselves about their own motives and find moral explanations for feelings and actions that in reality have a non-moral origin. We use the term over-socialized to describe such people. So that is a interesting bit to me because it is very true that if you were to take, especially now, this was written in the 90s. If you were to take that first sentence, the moral code of our society is so demanding that no one can think, feel, and act in a completely moral way. If you were to take that sentence and put it against what is happening now, what the moral code of society is right now, what we are allowed to think, feel, and act like now. How is that affecting people? What is that doing to our psychology? That this moral code is, it's gone from, and like in my last podcast, I talked about how Diogenes, way back in the day, people didn't like that he was masturbating on the fucking, or, excuse my language, they didn't like, yikes, they didn't like that he was doing his dirty business all over the place. And I mean, that was a moral code that he did not uphold, but that other people thought was good to uphold. Now, you can't step out of line in any tiny, tiny fraction of a way. You can't have a tweet from 2009 or a Facebook post, which if I look back at my Facebook post from 2009, I deleted, completely gutted my Facebook because of things like this. But I'm sure they still have the information somewhere. I mean, I don't know. But you can't have a Facebook post where you are just typing along to a rap song where there's a bad word or the N-word is in it. You can't do that. They'll find it. And you are then someone who has just gone completely against what society wants you to do or expects you to do now. So, I cannot imagine, or I can't imagine, but I don't know, because I'm not a psychologist, and because most psychologists, I feel, and I guess you can quote me on this, but don't quote me on this, I don't know. Most psychologists are just as susceptible to being bought and told what to say or what they can publish or what they can, you know, what research is okay. So will we ever have this kind of information? Like, what is it doing to us that we're not allowed, that these societal norms have become so restrictive that we live inside these tiny boxes and any wrong movement? You know, I go to sit down at, I was on a few dates with a guy I'm seeing, and every time, I move my hand, I move my hands a lot, and every time I move my hand just a little bit outside my personal square, I knock over my beer, and that was not me being drunk. That was my first beer. Every time, knock it over. And I'm not even moving my hands that much. Or far. But I feel like that's what we've become. I'm constantly spilling beer. Even if I'm not spilling beer. Metaphorically, I'm always spilling something. Because I'm always crossing the lines of my box that I'm allowed to think and move in. And I think it is very interesting that this over-socialization, what it's done to us. Like, and also, this burden, so it places such a big burden on us, as he says, but this deception that we partake in, the deception of ourselves, it really kind of brings me to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her, what happened recently. And I'll repeat that part of the quote before I start talking about this. I'm kind of freeballing it here, so bear with me. But some people are so highly socialized that the attempt to think, feel, and act morally imposes a severe burden on them. In order to avoid feelings of guilt, they continually have to deceive themselves about their own motives and find moral explanations for feelings and actions that in reality have a non-moral origin. So, that is AOC. That is exactly what just happened. AOC accuses Ted Cruz of sending people to kill her, which we all know is hyperbolic. Whatever happened, Ted Cruz was not openly trying to murder AOC. That is just not the case. That would be, if you were going to murder anyone, you really want to go for the person who's clearly crazy? That's the person you need to get rid of? A crazy person in the public eye that other crazy people love? No. AOC, that is bullshit. But she knew it was bullshit. And that's the thing. She had to find a moral explanation for why she would make such an egregious claim and accuse someone of attempted murder in public, on Twitter, where everyone can screenshot it and see it and have it forever. Why? And her moral explanation was this video of her crying. A video of her crying and then bringing a sexual assault into the equation. Which, like, you've got to be kidding me. There is nothing that being in her building, which wasn't the Capitol building, in being in a situation where there are videos of people walking around casually because there was a bomb threat. But this is par for the course if you're working in government. You need to expect shit like that. A bomb threat. Like I said in my last podcast, Nick Sandman's school was getting bomb threats and no one cared about that. But so she didn't even mention that there was a bomb threat. She said there were people standing outside her office waiting to kill her. The people were there to kill her. Specifically her. And then she brought in the sexual assault and how it brought back all the trauma. And to me, if that was really, really so bad, wouldn't that trauma be enough on its own? If I thought I was going to die, if I thought a crazy band of white supremacists were there to murder me, I highly doubt I would go home after that, surviving that. And I would think, this was very similar to my sexual assault. No. That is the last thing I would think. I would try and understand why it happened. I would try and understand who those men were. And that's it. And I might be a little sad for a second that someone tried to kill me. But every day, way back before we industrialized this entire world, people had to deal with running away from animals who were faster than them, who would sink their teeth into their neck in a second. And oh my God, this thing gets me. It is crazy that someone would relate. That would be their first thing to relate it to. So AOC is an over-socialized leftist. And She needed a moral explanation for her immoral actions. And what's even more interesting to me is just how the moral code changes. How much we're expected to change with it. But then also how the people we were, the person I was in 2009. In 2009, I was... Oh my God, how old am I? I'm so bad at math. Ooh. 2009, I was 17? Makes sense. I was 17 or 18. No, I was 17. 2009, I was 17. 2006, I was 14, 15. Moral code then was different. But we're forcing people to use the same moral code now, the one in 2021, and examine everything, every past thing that's still alive on the internet today, in the same year. Or past few years, everything needs to be put under a microscope and examined with that in mind, with the new moral code in mind. And that goes as far back as Christopher Columbus. There's a statue down the street from me. It's a Christopher Columbus statue. And they have fences up, like fences that they just threw up around it. And I walk past it every day because I go for these long walks every day because I am of the mind that I need to be walking a lot, getting outside a lot. And so one of my favorite things to pass is the Christopher Columbus statue because it has not been torn down. But it's just insane to me that not only do we impose these moral codes on people from 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and demonize them for who they were then, under a different set of societal norms, under the different social code. And then we take it even further. We can't get enough. We take it hundreds of years back. And we say we have to destroy these people, destroy their statues, destroy the mark they left, because it doesn't match up to our new moral code. And that is absolutely insane. Like, I know this has been said, but why don't people hear it? Oh my God, that is like, it's just, we are so goddamn over-socialized. And it's just, we're getting more, we're moving further and further down this road. What did he write? He also wrote, this was a quote I really enjoyed, because I'm all about the metaphors. But he said, I'm not trying to keep you guys in a weird void of my silence, so hold on just two more seconds. Ah, here we go. The over-socialized person is kept on a psychological leash and spends his life running on rails that society has laid down for him. Great, I messed up the word for. In many over-socialized people, this results in a sense of constraint and powerlessness that can be a severe hardship. Over-socialization is among the more serious cruelties that human beings inflict on one another. Yeah. So we are so over-socialized that we've laid down these rails. And in when this was written in the 90s, these rails seemed to some people, to the guy who wrote this, to be restricting, to be wrong in some way. And some people were still able to, like him, not find themselves on the rails. But now, the way technology has gone, we are all being forced onto the rails. Like, oh my God, I want to show people my face on here. I want to be myself completely. But I'm terrified because I have gone so far off the rails that I would lose my job in a second. And I would not only lose my job, but I would lose my apartment. I don't even have the heat on. That's how poor I am right now. I cannot afford to lose my job. My feet are freezing. But that's the thing. They've laid down the rails so well. And we are so imprisoned that we have no choice but to ride the rails. And that's what I'm trying to disrupt, I guess, kind of. But I'm terrified. I'm terrifying myself a little bit right now just saying that. But and I think I've gotten a tiny bit off track. Yeah, I definitely got a tiny bit off track. So, I have kind of hit the time that I want to hit for these episodes, and I really hope I didn't ramble too much, which I probably did, and I probably still kind of am right this second. But the quotes I read were, guess who? Ted Kaczynski, Unabomber Manifesto. And, I never thought I would be in a situation where I was reading Ted Kaczynski out loud to 2,000 plus people. Well, 2,000 people aren't actually listening to this, but 2,000 people are going to see maybe my post about this. But I never thought this would be me praising the Unabomber, which I'm not, because I do not like that he bombed people and killed people. Not cool. I do not like that. But what I like is his mind, what he thought. And I think it's important. And I think he echoes a bit of, or I think he echoes it because I think he read Nietzsche. And I just think he was a very, very intelligent man who just went a little too far off the rails, I guess. But so, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to keep you guys any longer. I don't want to bother you with my dumb thoughts any longer. So I will let you go. I am going to go sit by my electric fireplace and try and put this gosh darn thing together. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening again. I am completely bewildered by the amount of positive feedback I got for the first episode. And because I will repeat as I have said, I am so simple. I am literally everyone listening to me. I am not a genius. I am not an expert. I am just interested. And I know that is what everyone who is listening to me is too. So, if you are interested, what I'm doing does not take superpowers. It is within everyone's reach. So I just wanted to, you know, reiterate that a little bit, let you know that you just wasted like 25 minutes of time listening to someone who has no credentials. Yeah. Sorry. I will talk to you guys again soon, and hopefully what I have said during this podcast has not been too off-putting. So thank you so much for being here. Very much appreciate you. And I will do this again as soon as possible, because as I said in the beginning, I'm kind of addicted. So, thank you. And I will talk to you later.